Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow evening, it's going to be one of the most important events for the body of Christ this decade. We have pointed out on this show over the last 5 years or so that the most significant advance in apologetics, that is, in the defense of the gospel, in the defense of the Bible, the scriptures, as God's word, comes in the form of a documentary series, each film first available as a Fathom event in theaters nationwide, called Patterns of Evidence. The first in the series, now the third, will be showing tomorrow night at a theater near you, at least for most of the people in this audience. The first was Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, and where there had been a hole for the most part. Now, millions of people have come to trust the Bible as God's word through many different avenues of realization, including, as we read in the book of Hebrews, that faith is the evidence for things not seen. And we recognize that there is a mountain of evidence for the truths of the Bible. So through many different avenues, people have come to trust the scriptures as God's word. And then when the Bible says, well, look at this, God made the earth from nothing. God created the heavens and the earth in the recent past. And it's claimed that, well, the Big Bang proves that the universe is 13.7 billion years old, although that age has been changing dramatically over the last few years, getting younger. It's getting like a half a billion years younger every 8 months or so. But the claim that NASA makes, and the astrophysicist we had on this show a few years back, Lawrence Krauss from Arizona State University, the claim they make that they know the Big Bang is true because it's a theory that makes predictions. And so the predictions of the Big Bang confirm the theory, and therefore the Bible cannot be God's word because it's incorrect to say that God created the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them in 6 days. And this was all just a few thousand years ago, about 7,000 years ago. So what we've done is become, as far as we can, being science, independent science reporters on our Friday Real Science Radio show, we've become experts on the predictions of the Big Bang, so much so that if you Google those three words, and we hear continuously from people around the country, around the world who find us, because they've Googled, quite often they're astronomy students, they've Googled Big Bang predictions, and out of 100,000 possible websites, Google has ranked us here at Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio, number one. And that continues to be a significant way that people find our outreach. So when you look at what the Bible says about creation, the incredible scientific discovery indicating that the secular theories of origins have failed. In fact, they're falling apart. See that at kgov.com/atheism, our website, kgov.com/atheism. The secular theories of origins are falling apart for the most part to the extent that there are no secular theories of origins. And so then you have the global flood in a world filled with evidence for the global flood, including oceans that are, 2 miles deep on average and a mile deep of sedimentary layers on the continents and marine fossils on top of all the world's major mountain ranges, except for volcanoes, of course. And on, the evidence, and we have that, the evidence for the global flood at kgov.com/evidence. It's so much fun. So the major events in the Bible, the world is filled with evidence for them. Well, you come then to the Exodus, the second book in the Bible, and with the Israelites to escape famine, to escape drought, they are invited into Egypt because of what happened with Joseph and Pharaoh Amenemhat III, just a stunning account. And because of the favor that God arranged for Joseph to have with Pharaoh, where Joseph becomes second only to Pharaoh in all the land, then Joseph's family, including his father Jacob and his 11 brothers, they're all invited to live in the best of the land in Egypt, and they settle in Goshen in the south, right on the Nile River. And the account then of the Israelites, and there's a controversy, were they in Egypt for 430 years or for 215 years? And if you go to our website, kgov.com/exodus, just kgov.com/exodus, you will see a short video laying out the incredible solution to that question. How long were the Israelites in Egypt? So they sojourn in Egypt for centuries. They become effectively a nation there. Their population grows such. And then they're put into bondage. And by the mighty hand of God, through Moses, God goes to war against the gods of the Egyptians and destroys the nation, brings it to utter ruin by the 10 plagues. And then the Israelites flee bondage. They take all the wealth of the Egyptians. They just go to their homes and ask them, you know, those who survived, can we have your gold? Can we have your silver? Can we have, because they were the slaves, and they leave Egypt with the wealth of the nation. Pharaoh, because of his pride, chases them with his army. He sees that they're up against the sea. And by the way, that is the topic of tomorrow night's film, Patterns of Evidence, the miracle of the Red Sea crossing. And God parts the sea, and the Israelites escape, and then Pharaoh's army with their chariots, their horses and chariots, chase the Israelites. And when the army is in the sea, then God removes his hand and the sea comes in and drowns Pharaoh's army. And so then that nation, because of their unbelief, instead of going right into the promised land, the land of Canaan, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years as the whole nation, all those who were 20 years old and older, as that whole nation dies and their bodies fall in the desert, their carcasses, basically, because of their unbelief, fall in the wilderness. And so then the Israelites cross the Jordan River in the time of Joshua. Moses has died, and the walls of Jericho fall, and then they begin to conquer cities throughout the land of Canaan. And then you enter into the next stage of Israel's history with the judges and Samuel and the kings and so on, up until relatively modern history in the time of Jesus Christ. So skeptics have argued and believers have wondered, with all this happening in Egypt and in the wilderness, shouldn't there be evidence? Shouldn't the evidence be overwhelming, so that even though it was 3,500 years ago, shouldn't there still be evidence from archaeology, from Egyptology? In the apologetics work for the gospel and for the Bible, this was the area that was in greatest need of compiling the evidence for the Exodus. Those who come to trust the scriptures as God's word, we knew that the Exodus is historically real because God attests to it. Jesus Christ attests to it. In fact, it's the central paradigm of what it means to be a Jew. The rescue from bondage in Egypt and the Passover and the Ten Commandments. Their entire covenant. It all comes from the writings of Moses with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But where was the evidence? Well, it turns out that the scientific journals, the Egyptologists, and the papers they've been publishing for decades in peer-reviewed scientific journals were filled with evidence for the Exodus, but because the secular world in rebellion against God controls the editorial policy of our universities and the media and the vast majority of our science journals, then there is this misrepresentation of the evidence so that it is claimed that there is no evidence for the Exodus. So what Tim Mahoney has done, he's now devoted his life to this, is he's taken the work of a handful of Egyptologists, mostly the work of David Roll, who is, tragically, he's an agnostic. He's not a believer. I love this guy. Please pray for David Roll, R-O-H-L. Tim Mahoney has traveled around the world to interview the leading experts against the scriptures and those for the scriptures. And he's gone with David Roll, and Tim has presented in a theatrical quality that certainly matches what you would find from Nova or National Geographic, the Discovery Channel. In fact, far better than most of their documentaries, which are not released in theaters nationwide, as each of the films in the Patterns of Evidence series have been released. And so what Tim Mahoney has done is he's turned the area in apologetics where we had the greatest lack into the richest treasure. The evidence for the Exodus is overwhelming. We sell very few third-party resources at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio, mostly our store. If you go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store. That's how we stay on the air. We don't have a mega church behind us. We don't have a foundation. It's me, Dominic, Connie, the Lord, and you. That's it. That's how we stay on the air. In fact, just today we had someone from, it was Switzerland, right? Just north of Italy, for you public school teachers tuning in right now. Somebody in Switzerland just used our store to sign up to be a monthly supporter of Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. How encouraging is that? It's extraordinarily encouraging. So if you go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store at the top of every page on our website, you'll see the logo, the store, and you get a resource or subscribe to our monthly Bible study, sermons, our monthly topical videos. You'll get the Patterns of Evidence videos because we include those in the monthly topical video subscription. We have been providing to those who use our store our own resources, Bible study, topical resources, apologetics on the global flood, the Big Bang, so many fun videos, Trading Genesis, so many great, not only videos, but books, my overview of the Bible called The Plot, the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So the vast majority of our resources we've produced ourselves over the last 30 years. But there are a handful of videos that are so fabulous that we've decided to stock them. And Tim Mahoney's work in Patterns of Evidence, they make that cut. They are the best. And so we sell Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, and Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy. And now, of course, we're going to have to order. It'll take some time before it's available in the DVD release. but we will then order also Patterns of Evidence, The Miracle of the Red Sea Crossing, taking, again, as I've said, the dearth and turning it into the riches of the evidence for the Exodus. Now, Tim Mahoney is the producer, director, narrator, editor. He's got a team. He's got an incredible team, writers, producers, staff, a brilliant effort. And we've not wanted to waste his time with this third in the series because he's Tim Mahoney. He's busy. The film is about ready to be shown nationwide tomorrow night. And we just got a new order of DVDs from him, assuming that there's going to be more interest now in the first two, now that the third is in theaters tomorrow night. By the way, please, today, tomorrow, post on your social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever, YouTube comments, email your friends, invite people to go with you, and get people out. Ask God if you can somehow manage to see this film tomorrow night, February 18th, Tuesday, 7 p.m., in a theater near you, and bring a few people with you. So, Tim Mahoney, we thank them for sending out. We just got the latest shipment of their DVDs. And I said to Tim's assistant, Jane, had a great talk with her, said, I know Tim is too busy, but, of course, we're always willing to have him on the show. And she said, Bob, how would you like to have him on the day of the screening tomorrow, February 18th? To have Tim Mahoney on the radio the very day it's in theaters nationwide? She said, well, that's it. It's done. Actually, I'll check with Tim. And she just emailed back right before the show a confirmation. So Tim Mahoney will be on Bob and Yurt Live tomorrow, Tuesday, February 18th, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, encouraging people to come on out to see the film. Now, the critics against the Exodus, most Egyptologists don't agree with David Rohl. He has created what is called widely the new chronology, and it shifts the history of Egypt as compared to the history of the ancient world to make it consistent with the history in the Bible, and it shifts that history even though David Rohl is not a Christian. He's not even a believing Jew. He is an agnostic, tragically. Please pray for him, as we do. I'd love to interview David Rohl. That would be a great honor. But the Egyptologist, Finkelstein, Franklin, so many others who say that the Exodus never happened, and you ask them, well, why is it you say it never happened? And they say, well, the Exodus, it didn't happen. We've looked for the evidence. We've looked all through the 13th century. That's the 1200s BC. And the Exodus did not happen in the 13th century. Pretty much everybody agrees with that. I mean, almost everybody agrees that the Exodus didn't happen in the 13th century BC. All secular Egyptologists who reject the Exodus outright, and many biblical literalists, we all agree that the Exodus did not happen in the 13th century BC, or for that matter, at any time in Egypt's New Kingdom period. Tim Mahoney's Patterns of Evidence film highlights the primary argument used by archaeologists, and he goes and interviews them. One of the brilliant aspects of his films is that he gives the skeptics plenty of time to make their case in their own words, and they make the case against the Bible being reliable history. And then he goes to the evidence. Well, when Norma Franklin and Israel Finkelstein, when they dismiss the evidence for any Israelite presence in ancient Egypt, you think it through and you realize that their argument is that the Exodus never happened, But when it never happened was in the 13th century BC. That's when it didn't happen. And you think, that's a bit of a weird argument. The Exodus didn't happen in 13th century BC. And in fact, 1270 BC, get your mind around that year, 1270 BC is the exact date that many say the Exodus didn't happen. It didn't happen in 1270 BC. Okay. So this is a non sequitur, and it concludes then that Israel's origin, it can't arise from the events in the Exodus, but it has to begin in Palestine from about 1300 to 1000 BC. Why? Because of the date of an Exodus, which never happened. However, if the Exodus occurred earlier, closer to 1500 BC, even if it left behind the mountain of evidence documented in Tim Mahoney's films, the 13th century argument, it's also known as the Ramses Exodus theory, it prejudices the experts and it excludes so much hard evidence even from their consideration. They will not look at the evidence because they say the Exodus didn't happen in 1270 BC. We're not going to look for the evidence of it where the Bible puts it around 1500 BC. We're not looking there. How's that? And so then you have the books of the Bible written by Moses and attested to by Jesus Christ, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five books that are called the Pentateuch. You have them, the claim is, being written centuries after they were actually written, right? You think about the word Pharaoh. Where did the word Pharaoh come from? The Hebrews gave the word Pharaoh to the world. Our English word alphabet comes from the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Bet. When you think about the etymology of the word Pharaoh, which looks back to the term that the Jews, the Hebrew language term for the palace of Egypt's king, gives us the word Pharaoh. And so now, here we are 3,500 years later. Not only does the whole world use the Hebrew word for the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, the word Pharaoh is not an Egyptian word. The Egyptians have hated the Jews for most of the last 4,000 years. You know how most Americans are not fans of ISIS, Al-Qaeda? Imagine if we were to adopt the term caliphate for our government, and we no longer said the federal government, we said the American caliphate. I mean, what are the chances of that? Zero. So here you have not only the whole world adopting the Hebrew word Pharaoh for the king of Egypt, the Egyptians themselves adopt the word Pharaoh for the king of Egypt, partly because Joseph helped to save Egypt before it was destroyed because of its wickedness and killing Jewish male children and enslaving the race and so on. The Israelites had saved Egypt, but then in thanks, they were being slaughtered. And so when Patterns of Evidence, the Exodus, came out, we were absolutely stunned. Now, the Ramses Exodus theory, the reason that it dates the Exodus a couple hundred years too late is because the Bible mentions the land of Ramses, right? The Bible mentions that. And so the cities that the Jews as slaves built, one being Pi Ramses, then therefore, of course, you know that the Exodus had to take place in the time of Ramses, right? Doesn't that make sense? Except Google, when was New York City founded? You know when Google says it was founded? In 1624. Isn't that something? Except there was no city named New York City in 1624. If you were on Manhattan Island in 1624 And you wanted to see, okay, when is New York City founded? You'd have to wait, what, 10 years? No, 20 years? No, 30 years? No, 40 years before New York City was founded. 40 years. But yet Google and the whole world and historians everywhere say that New York City was founded in 1624. That's when it was called New Netherland. And they constructed Fort Amsterdam. And then they named the island New Amsterdam. It wasn't until four decades later, the King of England granted the land to the Duke of York, and it became New York. So is Google wrong for saying New York City was founded in 1624? It's the way the whole world speaks. Now, there is a little bit more to it than what I'm going to share with you right now. But when you realize that the city in the land of Goshen that Jacob and his sons built was the city of Avaris. And the evidence for the Jews building this ancient city that became a major city of the ancient world in Egypt was Avaris. The evidence is overwhelming. When they excavate Ramses, Pi-Ramses, they find out that that city was built on top of Avaris. In fact, Avaris was absorbed into the new city of Pi-Ramses, constructed a couple centuries later. So for Israelites to later recognize that, hey, the city that our ancestors built, it was Ramses. If it happened today, you'd say, oh, my great-great-great-great-grandfather built New York City, even though if it wasn't New York City. So that's the primary reason why the Ramses Exodus theory exists and why they look for the Exodus in 1270 and finding no evidence of Israelites in Egypt at that period of time, which is rather well established in Egyptology. From that late of a date, and relatively speaking, that's a late date, they're pretty good at figuring out what's going on. And there are no Israelites in Egypt at that time, and you cannot find the evidence of the 10 plagues and the destruction of Egypt and all of that and the aftermath. And then you go into the land of Canaan, and you can't find the evidence that Jericho was a great city at that time and that it was destroyed at that time. Jericho was destroyed a couple hundred years later by what looks like a rather unusual earthquake that destroyed the city except for one part of the rampart and the wall. One part survived. Why would that be? Because the Bible says that's where Rahab lived. And she was promised that because she helped Joshua and Caleb that she would survive, and she did. And the Bible in so many ways is corroborated by the archaeological evidence uncovered in the ruins of Jericho. If you're interested in that, we speak with one of the world's leading experts on Jericho at kgov.com/Jericho. So tomorrow, we thank God for the great honor of having Tim Mahoney scheduled to be on the show. And then tomorrow night, please get your tickets. The sooner the better. It helps promote the film. The sooner you get them online, the better. May God bless you guys.